Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the fifth episode of Boss Madle. I am so psyched to share my interview with you guys today. I sit down with Beth Warren, who is a nutritionist and dietitian, and we discuss all the key components to a healthy lifestyle. And I really love Beth's overall view because she's super realistic and understanding. She looks at the larger image and the key factors that can influence a person, such as a tendency towards emotional eating, the wrong motivation factors, etc. And Beth is also a big believer in positive mindset and using positive mantras to propel and sustain you on this journey. And rather than this being a punitive or restrictive process, Beth is all about finding joy in exercising, cooking delicious dishes, you name it. So before we start the interview, I want to share a quote with you, and it is, fall in love with taking care of your body. There's actually a second one I'm going to add on as well, which is, don't let your mind bully your body. In our interview, Beth discusses body image, and I wanted to share my personal story as I think there are a lot of misconceptions out there. I grew up in a family where we fluctuated quite drastically in weight between family members. And what I realized is a negative body image does not always reflect a number on the scale. I am a slim woman and I've always struggled with body image issues. And what I realized when researching this topic and working on myself is that for many women, there are much more complex emotional components, such as the tendency to be a perfectionist, low self-esteem, being labeled as a child, either being labeled chubby or skinny or bony. And what I realized even further growing up around relatives who struggled with their weight is how, you know, people can be so quick to judge someone based off their size and weight and how hurtful that can be. And so I wish for all of us to be a little more compassionate to ourselves and to others. And maybe we can, you know, steer this conversation from one of judgment and critique to one of empowerment. You know, we are so much more deeper than what meets the eye. We are women that are filled with hopes and dreams and fears and failures, but also success. And we are continuously writing our story. And if we can all try to be more supportive of ourselves and each other, you know, we can really change the direction that we are heading to, and we can really set an example for our children. So, you know, these quotes about not letting your mind bully your body is because we can be so tough on ourselves, even if you don't struggle with body image, but if you tell yourself you didn't eat well enough, didn't exercise well enough, didn't parent well enough, you know, didn't work at your job well enough, you know, those are all ways that can lead you to staying stuck and staying in negative habits or thought patterns. And again, the other quote, falling in love with taking care of your body, is I think what really Beth is all about is finding a process that you truly enjoy and using it to really give your body what it needs. So really looking at it as a form of self-care. So without further ado, let me introduce Beth. Beth Warren is a nationally recognized dietitian and nutritionist and the founder of Beth Warren Nutrition. Beth is the author of Living a Real Life with Real Food and Secrets of a Kosher Girl. In addition to juggling three private practices, Beth has been featured in numerous publications such as in Elle magazine, as well as TV shows like NBC Daytime. As a busy mom of five, Beth understands the need for easy recipes that are healthy but do not compromise on taste. You can find Beth's delicious recipes as well as her fabulous motivation and exercise tips on Instagram at Beth_Warren. Beth, welcome to the show. Hi, Beth. Welcome to the show. It's so exciting to have you.
Hi. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Okay. So let's dive right in. Do you want to take us back a bit and tell us how you started your business?
Sure. I started Beth Warren Nutrition, which is a nutrition counseling business, about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I came into the profession of nutrition because I love helping people and I love food. And when I was able to figure out how to fuse those two together, it was a perfect match for me. And when I got into the nature of nutrition, I already was starting a family. So okay. I already knew that I wanted to do something more private practice oriented the funny thing is that I thought I would be making my own hours and maybe working less hours. And my practice, thank God, has built to now 3 locations and virtual with multiple dietitians and staff. So I definitely don't make my own hours or work less.
But I can imagine.
It has been incredible, an incredible journey. And yeah, we see clients of all different types and different diseases and different reasons and weight loss and whatnot. And it's really an amazing thing that it became.
Wow. Now, were you always interested in health and fitness?
Yes. Okay. It's funny. I was always into fitness, I guess we could say. I danced my whole life since I was a young kid. And it's funny that you phrase it as fitness, because at the time I never thought of it as fitness. Sure. It was just really like a sport, I guess, that I would do. I loved dance so much that I pursued it even through high school. I started paying for it on my own. I got a job to pay for it. So I really was always having the activity part in my life. I used to go with my father to the gym at night in high school. It was our little like bonding time. He probably did it more for that at the time than we would stop for a Slurpee. I talk about this stuff in my books, how I didn't necessarily have the health part as a part of my life then, but definitely the activity part, I think, has always been a part of me. And the food didn't come till later, but growing up, I always loved food. I actually didn't realize that I couldn't handle myself around food. Like if I saw a bag of chips, like I would love to eat it. I would get so excited by it. I see this a lot in the kids we counsel, and I really relate to them, and I try to work through it with them, because I never look to take away the passion for food in anybody. I still have such passion for food. You're just learning how to, you know, apply that passion, first of all, in different ways. Like I got into cooking and food styling, and then also just learning how to enjoy it more mindfully.
Right.
That you're actually really enjoying it. So that kind of came later on in life.
Sure. Now, what do you say for people? I know you must have a lot of patients who have there's an emotional component to food, and kids who are raised with, you know, if you're ever having a rough day or rough time, it's, you know, grab a piece of cake, it will make it better. I kind of was raised with a bit of that. I still have that. You know, when I get stressed, it's like, okay, chips or tacos or pizza will make it all better. So how do you like combat that? Because that's a very, you know, that's very deeply set into someone's psyche, I would believe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a large part of what we do, the nature of what we do, because we also accept insurance in my practice.
Okay.
It's called medical nutrition therapy. And the therapy component of it is even, I think, more critical than just telling people, explaining to people what they could eat and what they should eat or shouldn't eat. When I even counsel a client, I don't even weigh them in until the end, if we even weigh in. It's because that there's so much more involved in eating well and, you know, reaching a certain weight, if that's what someone's goal is, in a healthy way. There's so much more to it than just being told what to eat. So I think emotional eating is a huge component of so many people's lives. And it doesn't always have to be a bad thing. You know, we can emotionally eat because we're happy. Like you're celebrating and you're having a party and you're just, you know, excited, or you're having a birthday party and you're eating cake because it's your birthday. All those things are emotional eating. So we all don't have to feel so guilty about having those emotions. Mm-hmm. It becomes a problem only when it's like a chronic thing and something that's starting to get in the way of you, you know, functioning as a normal person during the day, or sleeping well at night, or, you know, obviously something that's starting to mask your emotions and you dealing with what you need to deal with. And again, that's more people than you might think are dealing with something like that. And I think that you, first of all, have to be aware that it's coming from that kind of place. You know, build that awareness, like, why am I eating at 9, 10 o'clock at night? Is it because I'm hungry? You know, you check in with yourself. Then you say, okay, it's not because I'm hungry. I'm just really upset about something, or I'm just, you know, doing it to do. And some people are doing it to sabotage themselves because they just feeling so horrible anyway. Why don't I just make myself feel worse? And, you know, when it comes to that moment, you should go seek why, you know, why that's happening, what you need to deal with in your life. So it doesn't come out to be something that needs to be styled by food, because it's never styled by food.
Right.
And aside from dealing with that, you know, then you kind of come up with other things to do, literally actionable items to do instead of eating. Let's say it's at night, like specifically most people's hard time, or a little evening.
Oh, yes, that's mine.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of times, you know, like let's say moms, it's a stressful time because all the kids come home. Of course, we love our kids, but, you know, it's stressful. You know, this guy needs help with homework and the other kid's crying and you're getting dinner on the table. And a lot of moms tell me they just emotionally eat. And again, it's like a very understanding time that that would happen. But again, you have to recognize what you're doing. First, ask yourself if you really are hungry. Sometimes you really are. You know, I first get people on an eating schedule on the day to make sure that it's not because they're really hungry. A lot of people laugh at me and say, but I know I'm not doing it because of that. And I say, well, you don't know if eating well throughout the day is going to help you. I know it is. Right. I want you to try it, because if you really are starving and you skip lunch and you run home to your kids and you didn't eat all day, then you don't have literally the fuel in your brain to combat you mindlessly eating or emotionally eating, whatever you want to call it. So you really have to make sure you eat well in the day. Then you could give yourself a little bit more something to stop yourself.
Right.
In the moment, because you really are full. You'd be like, you know what? I really am full. I'm going to wait. I'm going to grab a cup of tea. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to go out of the kitchen. You know, whatever these things are. And then if you are really hungry, you're going to say, okay, so you know what? I am hungry. I'm going to sit and either have dinner with them, or I'm going to have the salad for my dinner, or I'm going to have the soup, or whatever it is. But it's a more mindful decision to eat, as opposed to just picking and snacking on the tray or snacking on your kid's leftovers or all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's first of all, building the awareness, and then checking in with your body, what you're really feeling, and then acting on that feeling, whether it means you are going to, in fact, eat or you're not going to eat because you're not hungry. So it's all those kind of things.
Interesting. So now, have you found with your practice that there is this total fear of carbs, you know, that's kind of, right? Like people are terrified of a sweet potato?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, I have to redefine what carbohydrates are in people's minds.
Okay.
First of all, carbohydrates are a food group. They're not a food.
Okay.
So they're in foods. So a lot of people will tell me, oh, I don't eat carbs, I'm scared of carbs. And then they'll tell me they'll eat beans or lentils. And I'm like, well, those also have carbohydrate in them, you know? So right. I laugh at it. Not in a way that makes them bad. It's just, it's a misconception or a misunderstanding. And you don't realize that because you're eating the lentils, that means you can eat sweet potato and you can eat bread and nothing will really change in your weight or anything like that, because it could come out to the same amount of carbohydrate. It's just you're not realizing that that's what it is, you know?
Right.
Of course, there's fiber content involved. Of course, there's, other types of carbs, like meaning resistant starches and all these like components that make up a carbohydrate that might alter the different types of sugars. But the fact remains that in our body is processing total carbohydrates the same way. So like when you teach diabetics, or especially type 1, to carb count, it's called. So they manage their carb with their insulin that they need to give themselves. You're literally just looking at the total carbs. They don't deduct for fiber. They don't do all these things. So, you know, what my plans are unique, and Secrets of a Kosher Girl, my book, talks about is this carbohydrate rotation that I take into account all the foods with all the different types of foods with carbohydrate. And I explain people that instead of avoiding them, or instead of having them too much, which is could be one or two types of plans, you're going to rotate the source of carbohydrate. So you should try to have, if you want to try to focus on carbs, you should have one whole grain a day. So that could be a whole wheat bread or oatmeal or what we know of as carbs. A lot of people assume brown rice. And then you have one from a starchy vegetable family. Okay. That would be, like you said, the sweet potato. Potatoes are not bad. You know, corn, all these types of starchy vegetables that if you have them in a certain amount, they come out to the same total carbohydrate as the grains. They're just more from resistant starches and different form of carb. Then there's legumes. Legumes, everyone say, oh, but isn't that a protein? There's no A anything. When you're dealing with a plant, it has all components of the food groups.
So interesting.
Yeah. So when vegan diets are actually really hard to balance, and I actually love doing that. It's a challenge because you literally have to calculate everything, because plants have a little bit of everything, most of them, right? So beans, yes, legumes have protein. They absolutely do. But they almost have almost the equal proportion of carbs. And it doesn't make them bad. You know, when I say that, people are like, oh, okay, so I stay away. No, it's the opposite. They have a great source of carbs. They have tons of fiber. They're really going to fill you. They have those resistant starches. They're proven to help with weight. So I really like putting them in on purpose. And I think they're a very underestimated food group that most people go in life without ever eating. And so I purposely put in a legume a day, which is the beans, lentils, chickpeas, split peas, those type. I put in a starchy vegetable a day, and I put in a whole grain.
Okay.
And it's fascinating to see that the rotation of the carbs helps people, like kind of give people that speed up of loss that they look for when they take away carbs, only you're not, and you're more full, And you're also mimicking what a nutrition profile would look like if you were quote unquote off a diet, which is like what my whole goal is, that people maintain whatever weight loss they accomplished. So my plans are always built in a way that, like, on the back end, if you had a cookie, it's not going to all of a sudden you gain 5 pounds back. That's a certain amount of carbs. You're already having this amount of carbs. So, okay, you get away with a cookie once in a while. It works.
So it's sustainable. It really
it's very sustainable. For a
long-term goal. I love that. So what did you decide to write Secrets of a Kosher Girl? And what was the process like?
So it's actually a great transition into that because I was finding through my private practice that people were looking for these quote unquote quick fixes, or like, what do I need to do just to like give myself that jolt? And then like at the time that I even thought of the concept of this type of plan, it was like the juice cleanse craze, where I was like, okay, but what does that do for you? I mean, you're miserable for 3 days and then you just gain your weight back. Like, it just was not, you know, like people are going the wrong direction with wanting to try to do something to like refresh themselves and like kind of clear out the cravings for things. And I totally respected that mindset, but I wanted people to go about it in a more of a healthful way that could kind of like expound and move forward on what you did. It's not just like a 3 day juice cleanse and then that's it. You know, it's like you started this process and now we move forward from there.
Right.
So getting whatever other goals you want or whatever it is. So I developed this 21-day program. At the time, I called it the Kosher Cleanse. Again, okay. That time is when the cleanse idea was like big. And I basically said, I want to focus on exactly what I told you, where it's like whole food sources that are like making people eat in a balanced way, but still giving them that like stimulation of like loss a little bit faster, like they want, but in a safe way. And also that could still be sustainable in the sense where I'm telling you, they're having source of carbs, they're having source of protein, they're having all the food groups, they're having, I talk about in the book, having a treat a week. Like, I want people to learn how to eat a cookie, like all the
I love you already.
Yeah. All the components that you're going to need in your life, I wanted people to have in this program, so they literally like retraining themselves so they can make it sustainable or learn about themselves. The focus on whole foods helps you curb those cravings, get off that like excess added sugar. There's still sugar in the plan, but it's not excess or artificial. And just kind of like look for people to like, you know, reacquaint themselves with whole foods and, oh, this is what a salad really tastes like when I don't drink Diet Coke all day. You know, even coffee, which I recommend or don't recommend on the plan, I leave it up to people, is, you know, without a sweetener, like, wow, like I appreciate coffee. Like, you start to appreciate what flavors of food actually are and make that judgment call on yourself of whether or not you really like it or you don't like it. And I think that people unfairly say, and I even spoke about an Instagram post yesterday, I hear it all the time, oh, I don't like that food, whatever. And people don't really even realize a lot of them are super, super, super picky because of it. Like, literally three foods are left, which are mostly carbs that they're eating. And like, you put yourself in that cycle. Like, it's not you. And you could break out of that. You got to just do the work to break yourself out of that, because food and food taste and food sensitizations is all a sensitivity, and you could change it. And that's what I try to do with the book.
Interesting. I love that. So what advice would you give someone who is just starting out on a journey towards a healthier lifestyle and who'd like to make some small changes in their life? Is there any basic tips or tricks that you would recommend?
Yeah, well, I would tell people really need a motivation. Like, you have to identify why they want to do something, because you basically, like, all the time I have to tap back into that motivation with people. Like, it's very hard with the other life priorities to keep focused on why you're doing this, or to not get sideswiped, or you might get sideswiped and then how do you get back? And so they really need a really strong motivation that's not only scale related, a numbers related game.
Oh, that's so clever. Yes, yeah. Because so many women have had that, and you know.
Yeah. So with my practice, we instituted a machine called the InBody, which tests your water, muscle, fat. It pinpoints someone's exact metabolic rate, so we could plan a meal plan without someone getting frustrated. Why are they not losing? It's because I would know where their metabolism's at. And all these other factors, like visceral fat, which is like a hard fat in the stomach underneath mushy fat. It's kind of a health risk for like insulin resistance and stuff. And all these other factors that I try to make people see that there's so many more things involved. Even if you are a numbers person and want to focus on numbers, then I explain to them, then let's look at the real numbers here. Like, what are the numbers that you need to know? Not the stupid number on the scale that if someone's holding onto water weight for whatever reason, retaining water, that could be from blood pressure issues, that could be just from a chronic condition, it could be from birth control, then the scale is no longer accurate for them. And they would have never known that if we didn't do the scale. And they would have said every week, why am I not losing? Why am I not losing? Meaning the whole time they're getting results of fat loss, but they're not seeing it. Because I explained to them that when you put a towel in water and you lift up the towel, it's physically heavy. And it has weight. Water has weight. People don't understand. And we got to figure out why your body is holding on to water weight. Sometimes we can't, but it's not that you're not going to look different at a certain point, and it's not that you're not getting fat loss results. It's that you're carrying a lot of water weight, and you know that's a separate issue. But it's not you not getting results from the effort you're putting into your, you know, food plan. So you know we have to. I have to focus people. What I teach people is not only like what's their motivation, but what's important to like focus on. What are results that you're going to see, like that you need to think of as results? I had a guy come see me. And he ultimately reversed his diabetes, and he had a gout at one point, which was like non-existent anymore, and all these things. And he lost weight, but he was so obese that to him it was going slow. And I keep trying to show him that he's retaining a lot of water in his body, which he should go to a doctor and figure out. But it's not, his results are results they tell you you don't ever see. And you need to like revel in that. So people need to stop being so fixated with the results only being an indicator of what the number is on the scale, when that's actually completely not at all indicative of anybody's results in a plan that they're doing, you know, overall. Like meaning, okay, the trend should be downwards, but whether or not you lost six pounds this week or 3 pounds this week or what, I stayed the same this week and you're watching it week to week and people go on the scale sometimes 5 times a day and all these things. I'm like, no, like that's not even helping you. It's not even an accurate reflection of what you're doing.
Interesting. You know, I never heard of that, but that's really fascinating. Okay, Beth, we're down to the million-dollar question. Yeah. How do you do it all? Didn't you just run a marathon?
Yeah, well, the half. Yeah,
I do. And you wrote some books, and you have a
part of people call me. Yeah, runs. I do their nutrition for their runs for 6 years, but I only ran. I ran that one 3 times. Okay. But I get the question a lot, and I understand where it comes from, and I always answer kind of in a way that I feel like is like anticlimactic. Like it's no like novelty or like huge secret. It's more that I just really don't even ask myself the question because I feel like I will get like really overwhelmed by thinking everything I need to do. What I know is that I love what I do. And what I know is that like I have so much motivation that drives me because of like the type of field that I'm in, you know, like that's why when I knew I wanted to like have a profession and things like that, it was important for me to do something that like was helping other people because sure. I have had a desk job before and I'm not knocking them. But for me, I felt like I wasn't contributing to anything to the world. And I just felt very unmotivated to get up and do things every day. And I even tell that to people with when I'm trying to teach them to get into fitness and I try to teach them, you know, to get into these healthy habits that like, if they're not going to love it, they're not going to do it. And I tell them right away to stop and exercise if they're hating it because there's 8 million ways to exercise. And if you didn't like one, you'll find another. And I want them to find that one they love because I know, like you said before, like with priorities, you won't make it a priority if you don't like it. So I think like a large part of what drives me is just that I do love it. Even though you want to complain about it every day, you love it. And then, like I said, we mentioned fitness because a lot of people ask me about that. I work out almost every day. And I feel like what I'm able to do that because I threw out in my mind that exercise has to be by 8:30, 9:30 a.m. every morning. Hmm. You know, I live in a community in an area where that's the norm. You know, if you go to these group classes, which I think are fabulous, it's either 8:30 or 9:30. And I was like, okay, I can't like get there. Those are like my busy times. And I just started. And then if you didn't do it, then you would hear people just didn't work out all day. And I was like, this is not like probably how it's supposed to be. And I just linked up with a lot of different trainers and a lot of different exercise things. And I'm very willing to travel for exercise now, get in a car and even drive 25, 30 minutes just to go to exercise if that's what fits my schedule. Because I really focus on how I feel. And I ultimately feel way better having it in my life than not. And I know that it's a struggle to push myself. But once I do it, I'm always like really happy. And that's an advice I give to clients that you should focus on the afterthought, not like, how am I going to do it? How am I going to get there? Focus on like how, like, I guess I focus on how accomplished I feel after the day that I got it all done, or You know, after I've worked out, you know, wow, it was so worth it to come here. You know, all these things. Like, so that's why people have to just make sure they have just very positive things in their life. Like,
true. True. It's interesting that you say that. I think I tried 3 different yoga studios and I hated yoga. And then I found the studio that was amazing. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I like it. Yeah. So I tried to force myself for years to go to those other 3 yoga studios and I just couldn't do it. And then, you know, so I agree. It can't be another item on our to-do list. It has to be something you enjoy in order to be able to do it.
Right. And I'm happy you said that you gave it a fair shot. Like I tell people that too. Like you went a few times to those studios, but then ultimately it was like, let me find. And it wasn't that you gave up. You found another studio. Like you just kept looking like that. People need to understand that if something is an important thing to have in their life, like fitness, you gotta find it. Don't give up on it. You gotta find the right fit.
Sure. So are there any common myths about diet, health, or body image that you wish to dispel? I know there's a lot out there.
Oh my God, there's a million. There's a million. But I guess, like, first of all, obviously, like, literally, when something's too good to be true, it probably is. I mean, you really have to believe that. Yeah. And that if something's too easy, the reality is it also is probably too good to be true. Like, I understand the concept that a plan like mine, which is just basically, you know, eating healthy, eating well, salads, this and that, is more prep than doing something that someone's giving you 5 bars a day. But that is not the ultimate solution of what your goal should be in your life. Like, you need these nourishing foods that God gave us for many other reasons than just weight in your life. Like, you know, there's other people in the industry who I've spoken to, like, who, let's say, would get nervous when another fad diet pops up in terms of whether they lose clients, this and that. And I'm always like, they'll be back, because ultimately the answer is always the same. People know. They know what they're doing, and they might decide, and it's their choice and their decision to do it. But they know what the right thing to do is, and they might not, whether they're just very busy in life, which I understand. Like, I try to come from it from a place of empathy and understanding why someone might do something like that. But ultimately they come back and they realize that, like, okay, but now I need to figure out how to actually live.
So how to eat real food, you mean?
Yeah.
How to eat food.
How do I apply it to my life? Like, how do I, you know, I can't live like this forever. They'll tell me, you know, these things are just things ultimately people realize. And then sadly, some people just get caught in the cycle where they thrive off of it. It's like an addiction, really. And that's like a whole different story. So, that's what the myths with body image. It's just really sad. I it's funny because I was never like the thinnest person. I was always just like regular, I guess you could say, or like on the higher end of like my weight. I get that question a lot also. And I talk about it in my book. I think that looking back, what always kept me at least in check was the fact that I did the dance all those years, because I did not eat well at all. And I even now always have to watch what I eat in terms of, like, I can't just like unleash on something and not feel like 3 pounds, get 3 pounds heavier. Like, you still do, you know, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the way I eat and live, but I have to indulge and then I have to step back. Like, it's a constant thing for most people. But, with body image, like, I never really felt like, of course you want to be thinner or whatever, but I never felt like what I hear from, let's say, clients or other people, how horrible they feel, which I totally feel for, because first of all, I wish they see what everyone else saw. And most people, there's an attribute of you that's definitely, you know, a good thing, even if it's like your eyelashes, like, it just, people don't see themselves, I think, as other people really see them. And just, we're all so critical of what we are. And I definitely think with the industry now, with like social media and stuff,
I was
like,
going to ask you that. Filtered. Yeah.
I totally filter. Like, who doesn't filter? Like, it's not, you know, we have to know this. We have to be like, it's just part of it. Like, okay, like, the whole thing is just fun and fairy tale. Like, take it for what it is. Don't overread into it of like how it's supposed to be. I see all, like, because I deal in our community, I deal with a lot of moms and all this, and we're like not the norm with, thank God, as many kids we have. And I see these, like, pregnancy, I follow all these things all the time, but like pregnancy before, afters, whatever. And you have even these women saying, oh, but don't judge based on me. And like, yet they like get real fit, you know, in 6 months, but like, but don't judge based on me. And like, don't look at everybody else. I'm like, okay, so why are you posting your picture? Like,
right.
So, you know,
it only adds to the pressure cooker.
It's hard because, and we're not the norm. We have, you know, a lot of kids. We have a lot of things. And I think we're, like, doing a great job. So it really comes down to just, like, finding that those things in your life to add that empower you to love yourself. And I think that like for me, fitness is a major part of that. I got very much into boxing and I really committed to it. And now,
okay,
like,
I saw your videos. They are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I finally also with that realized that if I put it in more during the week, then I'm going to excel in it more, you know, meaning you put the effort and you get better at the sport. And I decided I wanted to do that because of that empowering feeling and seeing your progress and like what your body's capable of. And then it's so funny because like as a secondary benefit is like, oh, but your whole body gets better too. So it's like funny how things change that once you stop pressuring your body to look a certain way and just involve yourself in these healthy habits that you enjoy and feel motivated from and empowered, your body changes. And I always said that in my books, even before this whole self-care, self-love movement came, which is nice, that, you know, weight comes second to health and just healthy mindset, healthy living. Your weight would be where it's supposed to be. And I actually saw a quote today, which is very funny. Someone posted it, like something like, if your weight kind of keeps going back to where it's been, like maybe it's just your body's way of telling you it wants to be at that weight. Like, why can't we just be okay with that? And even when women or men come to me and they're at a certain percentage of body fat and they want to get a little bit lower, I was like, okay, you could safely go a little bit lower, but do you want to live like that? I wouldn't want to live like that. I don't want to cut your calories more. And then I like, you have to decide if you want to live like that. Like I tell people that I don't need people to be, I tell them all the time, this is where it's telling you to be. This is normal. You could be over here. Like you don't have to be normal, whatever that means. You could be over here comfortably and that's a fine goal. Like I don't need people to be a certain number because the paper or something tells you, you know, where you're going to be. You know, you could just get to a point where, you know, you're just happy with everything going on in your life, not just your body. You love that you're taking control of your food choices. You love that this, you love that. And yeah, you like the way you feel and you know what? You're okay with the way you look now. That's enough. Being okay with the way we look is enough. There's no perfect in anything.
You know, I love that. My whole family, we vary greatly in our body shapes and types. So we've got like super, super slim. And then, you know, family members who really struggle with their weight. Ironically, some of them are healthier than the super slim ones because they're always working out. But, right? So it's amazing because we can all eat the same food. Everybody's body type is different.
Exactly. That I tell people too, when they start pinching things on their butt or their hips, or I say, well, has your body always kind of looked like that? And I said, yeah, I said, well, you know what? There's something of just being our body frame and shape. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you that, yeah, you could lose 10 pounds here, but you would still think that looks big and it's not big, but I guess I understand it looks big to you. You're going to have to work out a little bit to make it more toned.
It's more of an athletic build, right?
Yeah, more exactly. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could say that that's what my build is. I stopped thinking I was going to have these scraggly arms and I just started boxing and now my arms are defined. So to some people, they might be like, oh my God, that's scary because you have like boxing arms. And I'm like, hello, my arms were always big. Now they look toned, you know, that was always my build. And it's just funny, you know, like how people just view things. And I say you have to work with really what you have. What you have was really meant for you, and what you have could be like really beautiful. Like you could really put the work in and make it look the best it could be, and that would be great. And it doesn't have to be what somebody else looks like, especially for kids. You know, this concept's so hard.
Oh,
and
sure.
You want to instill it in it the right way. So when I see kids, I'm always hopeful that, you know, they bring them to someone like me, that I'm just trying to reinforce that you are, your body is beautiful, and this is your body you were given, and this is what you have to work with. Nothing to do with the person next to you or your sister or your sibling, or, you know, and the parents also out of care, put a lot of pressure on that. And, you know, we have to all embrace the body we have and then make that the best it could be.
Yeah. I love that. I've got two boys. They've got totally different builds. I try to just use the word healthy and strong. Healthy and strong, we're okay. Whatever that means, you know, that's great. Really. Wow. Bravo, Beth, because people don't talk about this. I mean, you know, you open a woman's magazine and you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
So let's get down to our round of quick questions. And this is where I fire some of your favorites at you.
Okay.
What would be a favorite book?
So one of my favorite books, I guess, in the nutrition world is a book called Anti-Cancer.
Okay.
By Dr. Sylvain Schreiber. And the reason why I love it is because he actually had brain cancer. He ultimately passed away, but he survived for years and years. And he came up with, he's a medical doctor that came up with a very like balanced way between, I guess you could say, like alternative and mainstream.
Sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. He respects the whole, you know, you have to do treatments like that. But then he talked all about diet and food. And I love that balance.
It's a great book. Love that. Do you have a favorite life hack? And it could be for in any, you know, aspect, work, family, health.
Give me an example of a life hack.
Okay. So someone had given me an easy example of, you know, just making her baby's bottle the night before. My life hack is I try to tackle one hard thing every morning.
Yeah. I get things done in my day. If I didn't have hacks, I wouldn't get anything done, but I definitely pack my kids lunch the night before from dinner.
Okay.
Otherwise it would never get done. So that's a good life hack. Yeah, I guess that's the biggest prepper for. I'm not actually the biggest prepper.
But that's a good one because I've done in the morning and
it's a mess.
Chaos. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a favorite easy dinner?
My easiest dinner? My easy dinners to some people might sound hard. It's a hard thing. But I think when I make fish, it takes me 3 seconds. I think people overthink fish. So true. My branzino recipe from Secrets of a Kosher Girl is just datura spice, lemon juice, and oil. And that takes like 5 seconds. In the book, I say to marinate it. When people talk to me, I'm like, you don't have to marinate. I don't have time to marinate. And I just put it in the oven and it tastes delicious. And then with the kids, it'll be just like a whole wheat mac and cheese type of thing, which I'm like totally fine with. And then I have a Caesar salad. These days, the locations near me have like washed and checked lettuce. So it's unbelievable. Great. Yeah.
Big time saver. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite workout?
Boxing.
Yes. I was going to say.
Currently, you could ask me in another, every 2 years I get an itch, but currently I'm boxing, but I also started strength training ever since I use this InBody machine. So I have two amazing gyms that I go to. And so I do strength training twice a week. And then I do boxing like the 3 times a week. And then I usually stick in some fun group class. But I guess boxing is like kind of like my thing right now.
Okay. And do you have a favorite quote or saying?
Oh, yes. It's on my ring. I wear it every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
In Hebrew, it's imatem ma'amim sheyecholim lekalkel ma'amim sheyecholim letaken. And it means that if you believe something could be broken, believe it can be fixed. And
that's so good.
Yeah. And in my book, Secrets of a Kosher Girl, one thing we didn't talk about was like mindfulness is a major component of the entire plan. And every day you wake up and say a mantra, it has to do with some sort of like Hebrew quote. And, this was one of them. And because of that, I don't know. I just love this one. I really relate to it. And it applies to so much more in my life now that I like have it always in my head or on my ring, that like you never think. So every day they wake up and say these mantras that I think are very helpful, like to apply in life. And my Instagram kind of started being built on that. Every day I introduce a quote, on my story. So I think it helps. I love these things. Yeah. So quotes are like a big thing for me.
I love how you approach this whole process in such a unique way. Cause I started doing mantras like last year, but you know, and that was in regards to everything and how you feel and perceive things. And mindfulness is a huge component to a healthy lifestyle. And I don't think people talk enough about it, right?
Right. Absolutely. I think it's going to get there more. Now again, like I think it's going a little extreme. Like I don't want it to get extreme because everything gets extreme. First of all, people stop listening. And then also you kind of shame the people that have the feelings still. And I don't want people to feel shamed. I want them to feel like, okay, this is something I need to work through.
Right.
You know, I accept that this is a part of me, like for whatever historical reason. And I gotta work through it. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Do you have any good books that you could recommend on meditation or mindfulness?
So mindfulness actually, so now they're calling it intuitive eating, but it was originally mindful eating. And it was Susan Albers was one of like the pioneers in it. So my presentations on mindful eating that I give to people, to groups, is largely based on this Susan Albers person who I would love to meet one day. I don't know anything about her, but she was like the first before this whole thing blew out into like this fad.
Wow. That's really cool. We'll include all this in the show notes so listeners can, you know, find out that info. And the last question is, do you have a favorite girl boss or role model? And you could give me a couple because I don't think anyone's given me just one.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, you know, first of all, I try to be like a mentor for a lot of people because I feel like if I had someone more like me, you know, with kids and this and that, it really would help because, you know, the reality is that in our community, it's not a lot of like full-time, like working mothers, or at least not enough talking about it, you know, or connecting with each other. I'm sure there are others out there, but I think it should be much more of a network.
Sure. When you posted on Instagram about how I think school was canceled last minute for your children, and I said, scheduling conflict. And I said, oh my God, that's what I've been thinking all along, but no one's ever said it.
I know. And so many people actually messaged me that, like, all these different reasons why that would be hard for them. And I just, you know, I hear them. I like different things. Like I follow Adi Haman on Instagram with her fashion, because I just think that she's like not overblown. Like, she just seems very authentic and posts when she's like motivated by something and doesn't like over talk and just kind of like puts her sense. And she's really identifies with Israel and being Jewish and but like in a very way that's like, this is just me. And I always liked that about her. And so when people ask me like what Instagram I like, I kind of like hers in like a very subtle, interesting way. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, Naomi Nachman, I know for a long time now we connected, and she like doesn't stop. She's like an energizer bunny. So like when I feel like, you know, I have too much going on, I think about how she takes everything so much in stride. Right. And she's just like, really, because I've been on trips with her, we've been away with her.
Yeah, her energy is incredible.
Yeah, I've seen her in action. I'm actually meeting her later today because she's in my area. But I've seen her in action, and like, she literally doesn't get ever overwhelmed or stressed. She just like runs on that stuff. And I like love people like that, that like just love what they do and like draw, like have such a drive for it and just get it done. And like, those are the kind of people I respect.
Yeah, I agree. So Beth, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, of course. First of all, my website's bethwarrennutrition.com. There's a contact page on there and all info about my practice, but on Instagram, Beth_Warren. So Beth_Warren, which is my most active social media, where I give those motivational things every day. I give foods, recipes, and just lifestyle factors.
Yeah. Your Instagram is amazing. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Videos, prep. It is. Yeah. It's really fun. So guys, make sure to check it out. Well, Beth, thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.